Welcome back to another episode of Suds and Cinema. My name's Kyle.
And I'm Jacob.
This is episode 190, and today we are talking about Love Lies Bleeding, Jacob's most anticipated movie of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Gonna be huge.
No shit, dude.
Plus some other stuff we have been watching, possibly. Got a couple things. Did a huge rewatch in.
Hell yeah.
So we are, unfortunately we are missing Josh. He was going to go see the movie today, but couldn't get it in. There was only a 9:30 p.m. showing.
Really?
Yeah, they only had one showtime and it was
my God.
9:30 at night. So, but anyway, show goes on. How you doing, Jacob?
I'm doing great. I'm about to start my vacation in a few days.
Oh, where are you going?
London.
Oh,
mate. Wow. There's that Australian.
What?
Love. Love. Yes. Go to old UK with the king. I forget. Was about to say queen. I forgot. She's dead.
Yeah. With the king. Very cool. Well, does that mean you're not going to be on for next week or the week after? What does that mean for the show?
Yeah, probably not. Well, so you're going to, hopefully Josh will be on the next episode.
Well, I will leave it up to him to pick the movie then. We kind of talked about it last night and we will figure it out. But yeah, we can do that. Can't wait to hear about it. You've been to the UK before, right?
I have once, only for a couple days. So this one's longer. Like a week trip. Though one of the day or couple of the days we're gonna be in Paris too. Mm. Back in Paris.
Sunshine's country.
Yeah. It's gonna be a lot of sunshine. Perfect place to go in March.
All right. Well, sounds fun. But besides that, nothing else going on?
Not really, you know. What about you?
Oh, I got a lot going on, but we don't need to get into that.
What did you guys do last night?
Do
you remember?
Yeah, it didn't get as bad last night as other recent nights. We did watch the game. Sad Michigan State couldn't pull it out. It is March Madness right now. And they did have to face, you know, tough team. With the Tar Heels, but they were doing good in the first half. I thought they could pull out the upset, but they could not hold it together long after that. So,
womp, womp.
Yep. And then we just drank and came back here. It was a good night.
Yeah, sounds
all
like
right.
It.
Speaking of drinking, should we get our beers?
Yeah, I got a special one.
Woof! I didn't. Okay, sheesh. Do you want to start? No, you're not back. Bamping, bamping, bamping. Do you want to start?
Yeah, sure. I can do that. So I'm drinking a very special one today. And that is called Heineken Original.
Oh, God.
I was interested in trying this just because I don't.
Heineken?
I think.
Fuck that shit.
You would have some.
Ribbon.
So this is not the blue. I don't know if I've ever actually had it in a can before. I usually just always had it when it's kind of skunky out of the green bottles. So kind of interested. And I think the last time I had it was in Amsterdam. So I don't know when the last time I had it here was. I thought, why not? Mostly because I needed to find something and I didn't feel like going anywhere.
Yikes.
They closed the grocery store next
sarcasm.
To us.
You said I have a special one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, this it did win the Diplome d'Honneur back in 1883, so must be pretty amazing.
Okay.
You got a taste ailment.
All right. Well, I can go. I am drinking something that I thought was very on brand for this episode, for this time. And it's called And Hey Fuck 2023 too, but I'm going to change the name to And Hey Fuck 2024 too, because that's what I'm thinking about this year. This is a triple dry hopped IPA. So it's a triple New England hazy IPA from Abomination Brewing, coming in at 9.7% ABV. Woof, after last night.
Yeah, could this be one's exactly only what like I need. 5%.
could be what I need. Could also be the worst thing for me right now. Literally no description on Untappd. Just the fact that it's a triple
really?
IPA. Yeah, there's nothing really on the can either. Some cool can art, I will say. Shout out Abomination. Got some aliens and UFOs and shit. But yeah, pretty excited to try it. Already had a Pilsner when I woke up, and then a Bloody Mary at old Cracker Barrel, which was god awful. Do not recommend the drinks at Cracker Barrel.
I don't think I've ever actually been to Cracker Barrel before.
We were debating this all morning. What's better, Bob Evans, Cracker Barrel, Denny's, etc.? I said
Denny's.
Bob Evans for breakfast. And
see, I don't even know if I've been to Bob Evans before
Cracker
either.
Barrel for dinner. And Denny's is like you're drunk.
At midnight, food. Yeah.
Yeah, like when nothing else is open. No, not even midnight, like 3 a.m.
One. Yeah, 3 a.m.
Drunk food. But yeah, that is my drink of choice. So let's crack into them. I'm going to grab a glass actually real quick, so I'll be right back. Ready?
Yeah.
What a guy.
I decided to get glass too, you know, make it a little fancy.
Yeah. I wasn't going to go with one because I knew it was an IPA, and then I was like, oh, it's a triple New England hazy. I probably should pour it out. Oh, my God.
I don't know if I've had a triple hazy before.
Is immaculate.
It's like
fucking thick
copper.
Not copper. It's like the opaqueness that you want to see from a hazy. Like, I'm thinking it's gonna be pretty good. It smells delicious.
Yeah, not good. It's kind of weird. Like, how did this one like make it out this far? Like, it's not like offensive or bad or anything, but it doesn't taste anything better than like a standard, like it tastes like an American lager. Maybe that's why it's famous. Cause
so this is not regular Heineken. I'm kind of either I wasn't paying attention or
no, this is just regular. Not, I think. Yeah. The original.
Okay. You're just drinking regular Heineken.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're not trying to be fancy here. Okay.
Well, I thought you said something about a blue can. I was like, oh, okay, I thought it was a variant.
No,
of
I don't remember saying anything about a blue can.
Oh, God.
Are you okay?
No, I'm not okay.
It's just the regular green can. I just said I don't normally drink it out of a can. I think I mostly had it out of a bottle.
Okay. Well, I will say this is good. My mind might change the more I drink it.
Is it malty?
But it is pretty boozy. Yeah,
oh,
that
boozy.
It's not malty. Okay, so I just had this Goose Island Tropical Bear Hug, which is also 9.9%. Well, this is 9.7. That's 9.9. And that is like a super strong hazy, and that's like the worst possible version of this. I think that beer is like just bad, straight up bad. And this has like a similar problem where like the booziness combined with the fruitiness gives you that like cleaning product kind of taste. So it's not, I think this would be better as like a double.
What is that?
But
I already forgot about what the fuck we just talked about too. The one you guys had that you checked in a double check in.
A double check-in
by Old Nation.
Old Nation. M4
Boss Tweed. Isn't Boss Tweed Boss a double?
I think so.
And that one's pretty good. Maybe that's where you stop with hazies.
Yeah, that is a double New England. That's at 9.3 also. Yeah, see, that one is much better. I gave that a 4.25. I like Boss Tweet a lot.
Me too.
Yeah, this is probably going to top out at like a 3.5. I might go lower as I drink it. I don't know, but yeah, it's not great.
Yeah, this one's pretty bad. If you're going to grab cheap beer, I don't know why you would choose this one over anything else. I know this has kind of like a cult like following, right? Like people love Heineken, right?
People do like Heineken. I don't know who they are. I don't think beer drinkers like Heineken is the thing. Like I've never met a beer person that like loves Heineken.
Is it like the Stella Artois?
Right. But I think Stella Artois is better than Heineken, I think. It's been a while since I've had both of them, so I guess I can't really judge.
Well, I wouldn't recommend it.
Well, okay, you're not convincing me to try it here. All right.
Not trying to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we need to do like a light beer premium where we just all drink all light beer.
That could be.
Dude, I was getting ragged on so hard last night for drinking Bud Light, and I wanted a light beer, and the options were Bud and Miller. I'm like, you have two of the worst light beers. What do you want me to drink? They're like, Miller.
By who? Like,
fucking Josh, Carissa, everyone at the bar literally shaking their heads at me when I ordered a Bud Light. I was like, it's better than Miller Light.
Yeah. What's the difference?
I don't know.
Are they just mad Miller at Light's it better? Because of...
Well, they were saying, well, okay, so, well, people were surprised at first because I didn't order, like, craft, which I had craft beer earlier already, so I was trying to, like, mix up my drinks, you know, then get to something lighter because, let's just say Thursday, I got way too drunk by not doing that, drank way too much craft beer, then went straight to liquor and then didn't stop, trying to pace myself. Anyway, so I was switching to light beer and I was like, okay, there's only Bud and Miller Light. And yeah, I think some people were surprised that I wasn't drinking craft beer. And then Josh and Chris were surprised that I chose Bud Light over Miller Light when I think Bud Light's better than Miller Light.
Yeah, I think they're pretty much the same. We already did the test. They all taste the same.
Follow us on TikTok for our amazing content that we have.
Yeah, our one viral, or I guess like couple viral videos that we never... Did yep. again.
Followed up on. That's what we do, baby. That's what we do.
In and out.
Crushability, low on this. Guessing, actually, yours might be more crushable than this.
Yeah, definitely this is crushable. I mean, it just tastes like kind of banana-y water.
Love that. Yeah, this is not very crushable.
And it honestly kind of tastes, and this isn't like a good thing, but... What it kind of reminds me of what I remember like King Cobra tasting like. The 40.
Right. But that's... Isn't King Cobra... Aren't those...
Malt liquor.
Yeah. Isn't that like a higher, much higher ABV?
I don't know. Is it?
I don't know.
I guess this is a malt lager.
40 since college. I don't know.
So I guess this Heineken's is a malt lager. Yeah. So I guess that's probably why I got that taste.
Okay. Makes sense. All right. What are you giving Heineken? 5?
I'm going to keep it at the 2. So I'm not going to recheck this in because that's what I gave it before.
This is a rechecking. All right. Well, we're definitely using this beer, my beer, as the Sorry, Jacob.
Too bad.
I'm going to start it at 3.5. I'm not going to log it yet in case I want to change it as I continue drinking, but we're going to start there. So, very cool. All right. Ready to get to move on to our featured review?
Am I ever?
All right. Me too, actually. Excited to talk about it. All right. We're talking Love Lies Bleeding. Love Lies Bleeding was written and directed by Rose Glass. It is also written by Veronica Toflisca. It stars Kristen Stewart, Dave Franco, Katie O'Brien, and Jenna Malone. Plot synopsis reads, gym manager Lou falls for Jackie, a bodybuilder who is passing through town en route to a competition in Las Vegas. What did you think of Love Lies Bleeding?
So I loved this movie.
Whoa.
I didn't like at all know what to expect. I always try to go in blind, and this one I was like literally blind. I had no idea what it was about at all. Mm-hmm. And wow, I was blown away by it, actually. And one of my favorite things, I was like right after it ended, because I was in the theater. I think there was like, there's me and four other people. They were like two older couples, and like the older couple in front of me, he, the guy like turned around after, he's like, that was the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Wow.
And I like, and I just laughed.
My praise.
And that might be a bit of a hyperbole, but I did think it was pretty amazing. I felt like what it was going for, it just nailed. It looked great. The sounded amazing. Visuals were great. And the writing was tight. It was like an interesting story, maybe not like the most new thing, but it had elements that were new, that were pretty different, that made it elevated. And it was just like fun, thrilling, and short. Yeah, there's like not much to complain about with the movie. I think it set out for something and it hit that right on the head.
Oh, shit.
All right. Well, I will say that I liked Love Lies Bleeding. I liked it quite a bit, but I did not love it.
Wow.
I do really like the performances from Kristen Stewart and Kitty O'Brien, especially. Ed Harris is also great. I think Dave Franco's casting was a little weird.
Yeah.
Just like for his character, but I mean, he fits the role, I guess, when you think about it. But I just
honestly, it came off as like, yeah, it was a little weird, but I think it was meant to be. I think it was more just, yeah, it was funny that it was him, but yeah,
and that he, right, yeah, because it's not like such a stereotypical, like, you know, bigger guy, gruff, beats his wife, like, not that kind of archetype, but
yeah.
So maybe that's just a little, you know, diversion. I really like the performances. I did like some of the style. I do like the story and the simplicity of it, but I also think that it is a little simple because of that. Like, there's an interesting through line and some decent thematic elements, but like, the story is, I don't know if it's like an expectations thing, but maybe it just wasn't what I was expecting. And that could be my problem. And this could change on a rewatch.
Yeah, maybe that's why, like, I had no expectations going in.
Right.
So.
Right. But yeah, I do like a lot of that stuff. I like some of the style, how it was shot, how it looks. All that stuff is great. I think Rose Glass is a very good director, which I, you know, talk about St. Maud later, but it's going to come up quite a bit in this review also, because one of my problems with this movie also is that it feels like St. Maud redone, like too much of St. Maud brought over to this movie. And I don't know if when the last time you watched St. Maud was,
I don't remember. Yeah, I watched that one the time we watched it.
And it's only not really like thematically or anything, because there's, I mean, it's a very different story and plot, but like stylistically and choices that are made, like where there's you know, things that are happening that obviously aren't real, and then there's elements where it's scenes where there's some, I guess, surreal elements or liberties taken to show, you know, to show that style, like for example, like her muscles getting bigger, like bulging, you know.
I love that. But it's like her a hulking small out.
Yeah, I like that too, but it's the same things happen in St. Maud, where there will be a scene where it's like her like face like stretches, her jaw opens like wider than it should or something, you know, like a small thing where it's just like kind of leaves you a little, you know, it's not supposed to be that way, so it leaves you a little unsettled. Which works better than that, because it's a horror movie also. But, you know, something, she's using like the same things in this, where it's trickled throughout, and then the end, it kind of goes over the top with it. And the same thing happens in this movie. And the same thing happens in St. Maud. Just saying that it's a It's not that she's unable to do that or she's not allowed to do that. That's fine. But it's just like, I just rewatched St. Maud. So then when I watched this, it was like,
yeah, I was going to say, I haven't seen my mind. Maybe I need to rewatch that.
Yeah. It's so that was another thing. And I liked it more in St. Maud because those, like, you can easily explain those things by saying, like, she is crazy. Like, she's obviously psychotic. The things that she sees or the things that we see are not actually happening. And, you know, I think that's pretty clear by the end. Whereas in this, it doesn't, like, there's not really that unstable mentality in here from, I mean, some of the characters are unstable, but like the psychosis is not there. So the things that we're seeing, it's, yeah, the roid rage, sure. But also that, like, just where she ends up at the end, Katie O'Brien's character, I don't feel like that's a side effect of taking steroids, like things that she's going through. So, you know, that's,
I thought that too. I'm like, what is this shit? I think it's laced with fentanyl.
She has to be taking some hallucinogenics also. But yeah, like, I like those stylistic flares, but I like it more in St. Maud because I feel like you can tie it in thematically and it makes more sense. Whereas in this, you just have to go with it. And I don't know. I mean, it's probably a personal hangup. I know I shouldn't really be thinking about that, but I am partially, especially because of like how characters react to, like, in the movie, it's more literal, I guess. But anyway, I did like a lot of elements to it. We can get into more, but I will say I liked it a lot. I didn't love it. I'm here to be swayed though, and I will be rewatching this eventually, just like St. Maud.
Word. So let's get into it then.
Okay. We could say spoilers for Love Lies Bleeding from here on out. If you do not want to be spoiled, skip ahead. Check the show notes. I guess where to start? I am a little bit removed from the movie as well. I watched it over a week ago. Watched it last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I watched it around then too.
Yeah.
I figured you had like something poignant.
No, I figured you did.
Okay. Well, I just loved the style of this and the simplicity of it. I was talking about how the story, like, it was kind of like obvious where it was kind of heading, but it was also interesting and not exactly. I think it was played in a way that made it a little bit ambiguous on where it could have gone and the motivations for all the characters. But mm-hmm. I think
like,
go ahead.
I guess the, just like the plot elements, like with they build up the father and the background a lot for that to not, I feel like that didn't have as much of an impact as it should have, or like tied, like it didn't seem like all of the elements came to a head. It was kind of just like the, and it wasn't, it also wasn't one of those movies where like they do one thing and then it like snowballs out of control. Like it is kind of that, but it didn't have that feeling of one of those types of movies. It was like they do, you know, she kills JJ, the abusive husband or whatever, and then it leads to them, you know, needing to get rid of the body, and they dump the body where that her dad dumped all of his bodies, and then the girl sees them, and like it is plot wise it is one of those movies, but it doesn't play out like that. I don't know how to explain it really, but if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. But then, yeah, that element, like the crime element with her dad, doesn't seem to come to a head.
I agree. That was like one of the weakest parts, I think, was kind of the end. Because like when shit finally hit the fan, it was kind of a little bit of a whimper, honestly. Because he's like just seems so dark and important that, I don't know, it was just the end scene was kind of weird because he could have just shot her and killed her. And it seemed like he was very negative, like, like on the phone call where he's just like, you messed up. I forgot what he said exactly, but you shouldn't have done that. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then she like goes to his house, right? And she's just like yelling with the sister. And there was just so many chances that he could have killed her during that time. And I was like, where was he during this entire time? And then she leaves, you know, her girlfriend tied up, but like no one around. He has like no guards or anything. I don't know, like no one to watch her. She's just able to go get her, and like they meet up, you know, like nothing. It felt like, I felt like there was a chance that something dramatic could happen, but it didn't happen until she made this weird dumb decision to go back to him. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like that whole part was so kind of like sloppy, I guess. But
yeah,
I was like, okay.
Yeah, like I like the simplicity and stuff in the beginning, and the threads that they, you know, the breadcrumbs that they're leaving with everything, you know, her dad and her past and everything, because that comes, like, that's supposed to be this big revelation also that doesn't,
she was
like
part of it,
matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that she was a part of it.
It just, yeah, the reveals did come across as a little, like, lackluster.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like that could have, like, it could have come together a lot cleaner and more exciting.
Yeah. But then I was like, okay, this is just like a Bonnie and Clyde love story type of movie. And then
I wish it was that. I kind of wish they were like,
I mean, that's how it kind of ended, right?
Leaving town, like road trip almost type movie, but it's definitely not that. Could use more gym stuff too.
I loved that. The beginning was amazing.
I do love the beginning. Yeah, I know.
It was amazing.
It's funny too, because like I see that and like I just know that a gym, it like in a town like that would never be that full or like look like that. I don't know. But I love like the style and the aesthetic that it's that they're going for.
Yeah.
That, just hairy dudes.
I mean, 80s, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the score? I thought that you would have loved the score slash soundtrack.
I did love the score. It's my boy Clint Mansell. Yeah. In the movie too is very NWR. Am I wrong? Because I mean, Clint Mansell does most of NWR's movies. And then the lighting in this. Oh, you had to have loved those reds.
Oh yeah, of course. I thought it looked pretty amazing in a lot of parts.
Yeah, like I think how it's shot is very interesting, and like I said, the style that it goes for is spot on. And yeah, I love the dirty aesthetic and all that stuff.
Sweaty, greasy. Mm-hmm.
Sweaty, yeah. Yeah. Very gritty. Yeah, a lot of that stuff is good. I just think it's a little like slight. It's like could have been this like awesome crime like type movie, like a Drive from Nicholas Winding Refn or something like that, but it didn't, you know, reach those heights.
I do feel like that's fair. I do see where you're coming from, like trying to think from it from that perspective. I totally like, yeah, it is kind of like disappointing that, but like me, I'm just like watching this as like, just like this slight experience that was meant to be more of like this visual, like fun, like just a fun movie that happened to be elevated by all the technical aspects behind it versus like it's pretty much a throwaway like story and everything, but it's just so much fun, like you're having so much fun watching it.
Yeah,
that's really what it was going for.
I love that this movie was even made, because it's like it feels just like such like a throwback movie, you know, kind of like those, oh fuck, what was the director that we watched? There's all those shitty, you know, dirty, sexy, what's that guy's name? Adrian Lyne.
Yeah.
Adrian Lyne or whatever. That guy. Kind of like, you know, something of that era.
Yeah. I knew that from watching this, like as soon as it got like even like the first scene, I'm like, like maybe 10 minutes into it, I was like, Travis is gonna love this movie.
Oh yeah.
And then I saw afterwards, I'm like, yep.
I'm gonna come.
Yeah, definitely going to be a contender for the award, horniest movie of the year.
Definitely could be up there. We'll Gotta start making that doc soon. Yeah, I mean, so, okay. So at least you see where I'm coming from. I hope I'm...
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Good enough. But no, there's still a lot of aspects that I liked about it. I did like the... I think she's... I don't know if it's supposed to be, like, motherly, but, like, she feels protective. Like, there is, like, this... like the other, well, I guess there's a lot of it in the movie, like a protector angle where, you know, Jackie feels protective over Lou. Lou is protective over her sister. The father is supposed to be their protector, but isn't. You know, he's supposed to protect both of them, doesn't. Same with the mom, doesn't. I think it's kind of like flipping that, I guess, the gender roles there, because like all of the women in the movie are protectors.
Yeah.
And all the men suck at protecting the women. I'm like explaining it to myself as I say it. But yeah, I think that's a pretty interesting angle also.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, one of the best scenes was at the end where she's just a giant woman.
Yeah, we definitely need to talk about that. So that's part of the surreal elements that obviously, you know, aren't true or like actually happening. But characters react to it in that way, like she, you know, the bulging muscles, and she like grows when she kills JJ. She grows a little bit,
yeah, literally,
and then,
like the Hulk.
And then at the end, she grows like 50-foot woman big, and it's like super out there. So, I guess like, do you have a thought on those scenes in particular and what they mean, maybe, or?
I mean, I literally just took it like she was getting bigger because now she needs to be the protector earlier on. But like when she really grew was when she was doing it. Like when she became the giant was when she became like big in the eyes of her lover, which was, you know, Lou. And like she saw her as this giant like person because of like her being there for her, and finally she has someone who's like that for her, and she, in her eyes, she's a giant, but you know, obviously that's not actually happening. And but that's what I just took it. It was literally just a physical representation of what she's feeling about her at that moment, how she came back to her and saw and helped her. Now she sees her as this person that's bigger than life.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much exactly how I took it as well. Just that, yeah, like when she kills JJ, that is to help Lou, but to protect Lou's sister. You know, she feels like no one else is going to do it or can do it, and she grows in that. It's more of like a yeah, representation of that role, I feel like, because at the end she does, like, because Lou doesn't see her in that time, you know, when she kills him. So like that time, like when she grows at that point, it's not really like in her eyes she's getting bigger, it's more so
it's like, almost like in his eyes, like he sees this like giant monster not somebody who's like big, because they're so like in awe of this person who's helping them. This is like someone just afraid of this giant monster that's attacking him in the dark.
Yeah. Do you feel like she got like her literal strength changed at all? Like, because that was a pretty brutal death.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
I physically love that.
I love it too.
I mean, I don't know. She is jacked. So I don't know how strong like she would actually be, because he's pretty small. But yeah it was true. Kind of seemed excessive in the it. Like it seemed a little bit over the top.
Why they put him in that role too, is because he is like a small, scrawny guy. Versus if they had someone bigger and then they still did the same death, it would be
he was
less
beating someone who was not even fighting back at all, right?
Like, yeah, that's true.
But I mean, is she actually like a body? I don't know her. Is she actually like a?
I think she did have some bodybuilding past or like experience either before acting or just did it on the side. But yeah, I don't know the actress. like from anything else.
Yeah, I don't. I'm looking. I'm like, yep. I haven't. Don't think there's Ant-Man and the Wasp. Even the Ant-Man. I haven't seen that one. So, yeah.
Oh, she's in the first two Ant-Man movies also.
Oh, I don't remember her.
I don't know who she plays though. Yeah. Probably, yeah. It could be like a smaller role. But yeah, no. I thought this was a good breakout.
Yeah,
Kristen Stewart was great. She was great. Holy moly.
This almost felt like the movie where Kristen Stewart could be like taken more seriously.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen anything she's done since like Twilight. I don't know if she's even done much
since
Twilight.
Have you seen Spencer?
Okay, other than Spencer.
She's done a lot. What are you talking about?
What other than Spencer have I seen her in?
Hold on, I'll tell you.
It's like you've seen, she did, you know, Twilight, and then
Crime Spencer. Future? Hello,
Crime what was Future? She in that? I don't remember her in that.
She's the fucking girl. What do you mean?
I barely remember the main... that movie, if I'm honest.
Oh my god, you need to fucking
well. This is where she stood out more.
Underwater, huge movie.
Underwater. I didn't watch that movie. You and Joshua watched that movie.
Oh, I thought you watched that.
No, I did not. Personal Shopper. I did not watch that.
My God, Jacob. Fucking watch some more movies, dude. No, she's on.
Underwater was amazing.
Quite a bit since Twilight. Twilight was 2012. That was 10 years ago. And she's.
I meant this was like something where I like can respect her more and something.
Oh my God. Clouds of Sils Maria. I haven't seen it. Still Alice. She was in that. We don't talk about Woody Allen. Happiest Season. You watch that? Huge, huge role for her. Not a great movie in my opinion, but whatever.
You're really selling it.
Well, at least they actually casting gay people in gay roles, so.
Yeah.
We got that going for us.
Yeah, it was great.
I don't know if Katie O'Brien is, but that's all right. Got one half. Okay.
That's all that matters.
You have anything else on Love Lies Bleeding that you want to say?
No, I don't know if there, maybe it is deeper and there's more to say, but honestly, I don't think it's meant to be. I think this is just supposed to be entertaining, that entertainment that is like elevated, I guess. Even more than, I guess, in the more in the along the lines like the Holdovers, where it's like something that's not really deep, but like elevated by the technical aspects.
Well, I think so,
this
is
more my jam.
Yeah, like, I mean, I did say that like the plot was simple and stuff, but it's, I think there's more thematically there. Like, I don't think it's
for
a shallow
movie. I mean, you get
they do a lot with gender roles and. Yeah,
with her like in her family, like she calls her brother, was it on the payphone?
Who?
Jackie. Mom is like, "Don't call me. Don't ever call here again."
Right. I don't know if it's
like there's definitely like, you know, aspects there that hint to more of the problems that like she may have faced being what she is and like trying to follow her dreams in this way that's not traditionally feminine. Like there's definitely stuff there that I think I would appreciate more watching again, but just taking it as like no expectations, I was pretty like blown away by it.
Yeah. No, yeah, I think a rewatch would help. Okay, what are you going to give it then out of 5 stars?
I'm going to give it a 4.5.
I knew it. God, I'm torn. I'm going to go with 3.5 for now. Definitely think it could go up on a rewatch, just like St. Maud. And St. Maud started lower. So if this has the same growth potential, pun intended, it could be up there with you. Let's move on to some Nano reviews. What do you got?
So I have a rewatch and some Netflix shit.
All right. Kick us off.
I guess I'll start with the rewatch. I finally rewatched Oppenheimer.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Huge. And I wasn't going to, but my girlfriend wanted to watch it. And it was already like almost 9. I'm like, just so you know, like Like, this is three. She's like, oh, well, watch like half and then watch the other. I'm like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, that's gross.
And we did it. So we watched the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, from just like a entertainment and not just like an awe perspective, I did like it better this time. I feel like it was so much easier to follow. I felt a little confused the first time I watched it. I didn't feel that this time. Mm-hmm. It was like very easy to follow this time. Definitely easier on this rewatch.
I felt that too on my rewatch of it. Yeah.
It felt way less confusing. And she was confused and I like was easily explaining like, oh yeah, this is that time section when, because like now I know like when things are taking place. So that really helps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It still didn't get up to perfect for me. I still think, I don't know, some of it just feels a little cheesy or something. Like, I don't know. It's amazing in so many ways. But there's just something there that's not special enough, it feels like, to like edge me to that climax, you know?
Holy shit, I'm gonna come.
Yeah, I totally get that.
And like it definitely didn't go down, but I feel like I'm just more solidified with where I am with this movie,
yeah.
Which was the 4.5. Like, I don't know if it does enough to like, because I don't think this is like his best movie. I think this is the one that like
no way
maybe most people could like love that, like I could see the artsiness of white people, but it's not, I don't think this is his best movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it is good. Great.
Yeah, it's the 4.5. Yeah. Yeah, we don't need to get into it. I should rewatch it again also, but that will be another day. Okay, 4.5 on Oppenheimer. What do I got? Here we go. So let me go back in time. Oh yeah, I should start with my rewatch of Saint Maud, obviously.
Yeah.
So I rewatched Saint Maud finally. Already talked a little bit about it, but this was originally a 3 for me. I thought it was getting way too much praise, overhyped, and maybe it's where I'm at in my life. I don't know, but I really liked Saint Maud on the rewatch. I could view it as, I think maybe I was going in with too much A24 prestige horror, like The Witch also was a big influence, and that there's more of like that, you know, that supernatural things are actually happening in The Witch, and then in this they show those things, but I don't know if I just like why I was trying to take it so literally the first time, or if I didn't get that it was like all in her head. But yeah, it was just watching it and knowing like, okay, she's clearly like psychotic, like she is having, you know, these mental problems, seeing these things, thinking these things, all like all of that stuff, and like the manifestation of like the devil even in her patient, or what's that girl's name, god damn it, you know, like when she goes back to the house to try to save her soul, Amanda, the woman that she takes care of, she goes back to try to save her soul after she, you know, gets the message or whatever, and then she perceives like the devil coming at her, but it's, you know, it's just in her head, and then she kills her, all that stuff, obviously just like mental breakdown, it's in her head. But yeah, I liked that, those angles a lot more. Lots of good visuals and shots in this one as well. I'm not crazy about the angel wings that are on her at like the end, where she like, you know, she's like, they just like looks like strings of like neon lights on her. Not crazy about that, just like design wise. But I do love the ending, and I really, really love the scene where she, the whole part where she loses her nursing job, goes into town and starts like, you know, where she backslides from her faith and then like starts, you know, fucking around again, drinking, fucking, all that good stuff.
All that good stuff.
Yeah.
Fucking and sucking on cocks.
Yeah. So I love that scene. Yeah, I would say the back half is probably stronger than the first half, but it's, you know, it's the build up to it that gets you there. Probably could go higher on a rewatch also, I will say. So I ended up at a 4 for my rewatch of St.
That's Mark. A huge a jump. Huge. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we like, I gave it a 4. Yeah. So.
And so did Josh. So, I mean, take me back to episode, fuck, what was, I don't even know the episode that was.
That was a long time ago.
Slap me in the
2019.
Face. Put this review there instead. Because I liked it a lot. All right. What do you got?
So I didn't know that it was like so soon that this was coming out, but it worked out perfectly because literally the day I finished the book, Three Body Problem came out on Netflix.
Oh. Oh, yeah. You've been talking about that.
Yeah. I just literally finished the books and then I look, open Netflix and it's on there. I was like, oh, shit. Came out today.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched the first episode, which people are kind of raving about, I think.
The show and or the first episode?
The first episode. I don't know about the if they released it. I only watched one. I'm sure more than
that. Oh, you said Netflix. I assume the whole show was out.
Probably. I didn't look. I just watched the first one and that's it.
Oh, I've seen a commercial for this because that guy from Game of Thrones is in there.
Anyway. Yeah, it's by the Game of Thrones writer.
Oh,
or
okay.
Whatever.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Continue.
And I will say the first episode, pretty good. It's definitely way... There's a scene right in the beginning of the like revolution that is literally like pulled straight from the book. And then it goes after that and it's all like characters that aren't even in the book. And which is fine because like I've now finished all three and they are mid-books.
Mm.
People think they're the greatest thing like ever. They are not at all. They have amazing ideas, but the books and the writing, everything is pretty bad. So honestly, an adaptation using the ideas and like the main through line and completely changing everything could be way like has potential to be amazing, much better than the books. And so I'm especially excited to continue with this and see how it goes. But yeah, I would say, one of the things they do is there's this, I can't explain without a spoiler, but like, so I won't, but there's numbers that come up on the screen and like the person sees these numbers everywhere. And I was wondering like how that would transition into like visual, because like the way I imagine it, I'm like, how are you going to show this visually without being like looking pretty terrible? And I will say it looks pretty terrible. I'm like, yep. I don't know how you do it better, but yeah, it's just like this countdown basically that the person sees no matter where they're looking and everything. And
yeah, that's on the images that I've like been seeing when I looked it up. So
yeah, it looks very like in your face, and which it is to the character. But I'm like, I just was hoping someone. There's so many things visually that could be absolutely stunningly amazing ideas. Like in the book, you literally at one point universes collapse from like four dimensions to three dimensions. People enter the fourth dimension and it describes like what the third dimension looks like from the fourth dimension. And like all that stuff sounds insane. Like to like think like I can't even visualize that like in my imagination, but that would be an amazing thing to see. And I'm like, how are they going to show that? Because it sounds incredible, like what's being described. And yeah, but like so far, I don't know if that's going to be that impressive. But yeah, I'm intrigued. I'm probably going to watch the whole show. It's a pretty strong start. Not like absolutely amazing, but honestly, these books are so fucking dense and with ideas that it's gonna, I'm pretty impressed with what they've been able to do so far and that people are interested in it because the books don't become interesting that fast. They don't become interesting really throughout most of it. Just the ideas are interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what they do. Strong start, I think.
Very cool. All right. I watched the new Roadhouse movie on Prime.
Ooh.
Directed by Doug Liman.
Pain don't hurt.
It was okay. I think, yeah, let me pull up my, I texted a review to one of my coworkers. Yeah, I think it's definitely intentionally cheesy. There's moments that are good and there's moments that are fun, but it should have been way shorter and a lot less convoluted. There's like a crime syndicate family thing that's like part of the plot where they're trying to disrupt the Roadhouse so that they go out of business, or like just like run them out of business so that way they can have access to like the waterway or something to like run drugs. And it doesn't sound that convoluted, but it gets more convoluted than that when like the cops are twisted and the one cop is the dad of the love interest, and then the dad of the guy that's running the crime syndicate is in jail and he's hiring people, all these spies, and it's fucking way too convoluted for a Roadhouse movie. Like, should have been tight 90 minutes, have it be about like a simple crime story that, you know, want to run, you know, take the Roadhouse out of business, and Jake Gyllenhaal's there to fight him. There's a subplot with a bookstore and a girl and her dad that are like, her mom died, and then the nurse that he falls in love with, or the doctor he falls in love with, and it's just fucking way too many characters, and it felt really long too. Like, I will say it's 2 hours, it's only 2 hours, but it felt way longer. There was times,
you know, it's only like 7 minutes longer than the original.
The original, yeah. I've never seen the original, so I can't like compare the two, but I've heard, you know, a lot of things about it, and I think that this is in the same vein as that movie. Like, it's trying to be cheesy and fun, but it's just like, there's some decent comedic moments in it. It's like nothing that's, you know, it's not gonna make you like full on belly laugh or whatever, but yeah, it's just too much, too many characters, too long. Cut it down, tighten it up. Like, his past is a big thing too, where he, like, you know, he's an ex UFC fighter and he like lost his temper or whatever, and he like killed a guy, and that's supposed to be like a thread that you follow throughout the whole movie. So then at the end when he says, "Oh, I don't get angry often, but when I do, I lose control," or whatever. Like, that's a line that is said. He has to say it. So, yeah, just could have been good, had potential, fumbled the bag, gave it a 2.5. Decent watch, but don't rush out to catch that one.
Rush out, isn't it streaming? Is it out in theaters?
No. Don't rush to the couch.
Don't open that app too quickly.
Yeah. All right. You got anything else?
Nope.
All right. Well, that is it for me.
Oh,
as well.
Okay.
Just those two things. Should be getting some more watches in soon. Now, I said at the top that I would let Josh decide what the next review would be. He did mention interest in, what's it called? Immaculate. Because, let's see what we have out. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Immaculate and Ghostbusters are out. And then next week is Godzilla Kong. So I think we'll try to get one in, or Late Night with the Devil also, I should say. Which I think you would be interested in that as well, Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to be on the next one, so.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, we will figure it out and come back with something, hopefully before Godzilla Kong. I don't know, that might be the next episode too, who the fuck knows. I don't know anymore. But in the meantime, anything else, Jacob, that you need to mention?
No.
We should have the Star Wars premium up soon too. I almost have it fully edited. I know it's content has slowed down. That is my fault. I've had lots of things going on, but we will get back.
How dare you have things going on?
Very soon. I know. Stay with us here. Stay with us, folks. Okay. In the meantime, if you want to send us a question or comment, you can email us at sudsandcinemapodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at sudsandcinemapodcast. I am on Letterboxd and Untapped at the KG Project.
I'm on both those as JSAL517. That's JSAL517.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Cheers, guys.
My mama says, son, you can't hold a job. You best buy a gun and go out and rob, yeah. Or get yourself some guitar and learn how to play. Lord, that rock and roll, she likes stealing on this, she said.